Thank you for joining us today with Cindy Sherwood's podcast, Words for the Journey.
I've had a personal struggle with anxiety for decades, although it has been much better since God healed my heart and mine. If you've never had anxiety, it's unlikely you can begin to understand how devastating the effects can be. It is far more than feeling worried or nervous. I remember one particular day during my season of healing, back in the 90s. My healing issues were fully out in the open, and I was regularly having new memories of abuse come back to my consciousness. The earlier days of having them return slowly and infrequently were over. Now they were coming all the time, like bombs, blowing up my preconceived notions that I had a normal childhood and family. My prior coping mechanisms of compartmentalizing, ignoring, repressing didn't work anymore. Nothing worked. And as is always true, the memories came without warning. Devastating pictures, feelings, body sensations just showed up without warning, without permission. There was no controlling anything anymore. I never went anywhere without Xanax, a prescription drug that controls anxiety. And so on this particular day, just after finishing a therapy session in Denver, 5 hours from home, I decided to decompress at a shopping mall. I just needed a little white space, some time to relax. While I was walking around, a memory came back, a memory of being abused when I was 3 or 4 years old, and I was triggered. What does it mean to be triggered? Well, it means a reality from your past invades your current time and space and grips you like a straitjacket. Suddenly, you're frozen in time, caught between two worlds, confused, unable to function. It arrives with terrifying emotions. Sometimes you see and know why you're having a panic attack, but not always. Regardless, you have no control, it seems. I realized what was happening to me and ducked into a hallway with a payphone. Yes, I told you it was a long time ago. I called my therapist and left a message. Because she was tied up with clients, I didn't hear back for a long time. I sat on the floor in this hallway in the mall for 3 hours, unable to leave, not knowing what to do. She finally called and talked me through it, and I was able to get myself back to the place where I was staying. That was anxiety. Sometimes anxiety leads to panic attacks, or it can seize your body, beginning like a slow simmer until it reaches a full boil. Anxiety can mimic a heart attack. I've often had what feels like bands constricting around my chest. If I'm not successful breaking its grip, it will progress to sharp chest pains. At that point, the anxiety accelerates rapidly because you're also anxious. You might die from a heart attack. Many people end up in the hospital because of this. Mental fog always accompanies anxiety, feeling distracted and unable to focus. Sleep is impossible, of course. Food is unappetizing, or it can go in the opposite direction and you eat every unhealthy food in sight, which, of course, makes everything worse. Anxiety is so disturbing, you often dart around for something, anything, to change how you feel, often making very poor choices, like getting behind a wheel and heading to territories unknown. More than once, I packed up everything I needed to live for a long time in a matter of only 15 minutes and hit the road, heading nowhere. Well, that should probably suffice to help those of you listening to begin to grasp the seriousness of anxiety if you've never experienced it. For those of you who feel your anxiety rising just listening to my descriptions, please take a deep breath and exhale. No, I'm serious. Relax your breathing. Allow your heart rate to slow. pay attention to your body and come back to my words. In a few minutes, I'll give you some tips on how to get yourself or others out of a panic attack. Anxiety largely comes because we have circumstances in our life that we can't control, circumstances that we believe will bring serious consequences. It's like we imagine a Mack truck headed straight for us and we can't seem to get out of its way. Soldiers often have anxiety with memories of traumatic events from the battlefield intruding into their minds. Students can have anxiety before taking tests. Anxiety is common with children. Most of their roles in their worlds are at the mercy of adults. They control so little, and this can lead to stress. When my youngest daughter was only 5 years old, she had been having nightmares and stomach aches for 2 weeks when finally the truth came out. I remember sitting down with her on her bed one night asking, "Honey, what has you so stressed out?" It was the night before she was to start kindergarten. She said, "I don't want to go to school tomorrow, Mommy, because I don't want the teachers to beat me." I could not believe what I was hearing. Where would she get that idea? Well, we lived in a neighborhood with many children, of whom she was the youngest. And apparently the kids thought it would be fun to tease her by telling her how mean the teachers were and how they beat the kids. No wonder her stomach hurt. It took some convincing to turn that around, but finally, after much effort on my part, she said, "Okay, Mommy, I'll go tomorrow. But if I don't like it, I'm not going back." I didn't have the heart to tell her it was a 12-year gig. I simply prayed, "Lord, I got her this far. Please help her have a good experience." It didn't take long before she loved going to school. In fact, 3 weeks later, she asked me how old you had to be to get married. She'd fallen in love with Nathan Lane. Health struggles, marital struggles, financial struggles, all can induce anxiety. Any circumstance where we find ourselves in a threatening situation and lack any control to stop it or change it. Having layoffs hanging over your head at work, anticipating a meeting with someone who has hurt you, loved ones under bondage to addiction, so many things can lead to anxiety. It is an equal opportunity offender. It can hit any gender at any age. So what can you do? Well, the remedies are varied and multi-layered. Your mind is a factor. Your body is certainly a factor, since anxiety brings so many physiological symptoms. And your spiritual perspectives and beliefs are a factor. Let me start with the largest anxiety issues before I get to those somewhat less devastating. If you are DID, dissociative identity disorder, struggling with memories of trauma and abuse, or are a victim of trauma, say you experienced a serious accident or were in battle, then I strongly recommend getting professional help. When your anxiety is stemming from unhealed emotional wounds, those wounds need healing in order for the anxiety to dissipate. There are lots of wonderful techniques these days to help abuse and trauma survivors work through those things fairly quickly. What used to take years can now often be resolved in months or even weeks. Find a Christian therapist who does good work with trauma survivors, and they should be very helpful. What doesn't work is waiting and hoping it goes away by itself. It doesn't. It may go underground for a short time, but get in the right situation and it will be back in a flash. So get help. A lot of trauma survivors find help in the Healing Journey class because we cover all the areas of healing in a comprehensive and systematic way. However, the class works best alongside individual therapy focusing on the trauma. The two complement each other. So what about the other levels of anxiety? When it is coming from painful current events, what do you do then? The answer is, there are many things you can do, and you should probably do all of them. Attack it from every possible angle. Let's start with the more important one, the spiritual level. Worry, fear, and anxiety all have an element of wrong perspectives and false beliefs contributing to the problem. We probably struggle in our beliefs that God is there, that He loves us and cares, that He will help us and provide for our needs. Painful events have likely marred that truth, leaving us either angry, confused, doubting, or all of the above. And this results in separating from God, which just adds to our anxiety. If we don't believe God can and will exercise benevolent control over our life, then we will be afraid and anxious, guaranteed. He is the one and only source for our true and reliable provider and protector. So when we've chosen to disbelieve this, we're ripe for anxiety. Finding our way back to trusting Him or getting there for the first time is problematic because the issues we're dealing with are real, and we honestly don't understand where God was when those hard things happened. I don't have time to go that direction today, but here are some podcast titles if you want help with that part of it. Why Do Bad Things Happen? When Life Falls Apart? Finding Our Way Through Adversity? And Accepting God's Will. To fight anxiety on the spiritual level, which always improves the mental and physical level at the same time, I have three verses I quote. These verses have gotten me through many difficult nights. I can't say for you, but they work like a charm for me. The reason they work is because I'm standing on truth, and the truth is defeating the lies. It is powerful. Here they are. The first one is Philippians 4, 6, and 7, NIV. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Next is Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And finally, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Again, the references are Philippians 4, 6-7, Isaiah 26:3, and 1 Peter 5:7. Those are not the only helpful verses, but they are the ones I use. Let God and His Word be part of your remedies when you are suffering with anxiety. He is our source of peace. Next is the mental level. You may think you can't control your thoughts, but that is not true. You may have to work at it, but I assure you that you do have that power. It is important we don't indulge in inventing future disasters. Frankly, that is stupid. Yes, we may encounter a painful outcome, but assuming that will happen or worrying about it beforehand helps nothing. In fact, it just envelops you in pain now, before it even occurs. Why do that? Instead of inventing future disasters or trying to predict negative outcomes, let's dwell on truth. Just so you know, I'm not a fan of simply thinking happy thoughts. There's nothing wrong with that, but when you're having a panic attack, I promise you that won't get you out of it. Now, thinking truthful thoughts might help, like, God is with me and loves me, and He will help me get through this difficult time. Or, God is big enough and strong enough to help me. Or, I am not a victim. I have the power to make good and healthy choices through this ordeal. And of course, there are thousands of other things, but that gives you an idea. Whatever you do, don't feed on the negative. Don't entertain what ifs. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Look at today. the here and now and appreciate what you do have. If your mind is steeped in a bad habit of assuming the worst, then write out on an index card an affirmation of truth, including scripture, and read it out loud to yourself as often as you need to. Don't be a victim to yourself. Take control of your mind. And finally, the physiological side. These are techniques you can do for yourself, or if you are with someone who's having a panic attack, you can use them with another person too. The first is breath control. When we have anxiety, our breathing becomes too shallow. We are taking in too much oxygen and not exhaling enough carbon dioxide. That is called hyperventilation, something that triggers a negative cascade of effects in our brain. So one of the most important things to do is regain control over breathing. A simple exercise is to inhale deeply once and then exhale with 5 puffs in a row. Repeat and inhale once, then exhale 5 times, and keep doing this until the anxiety recedes. That's why the old paper bag remedy works. When we're having a panic attack, we're taking in too much oxygen. So breathing in a bag for a few minutes allows us to breathe a little carbon dioxide to stop that dynamic. So focus on getting your breathing even and releasing all of your air rather than holding it in. Another simple thing is to take a drink of water. That can be grounding when someone is triggered. Another thing is to try to check in with all 5 senses. What do you see? What do you hear? What can you smell? What do you taste? And probably the most important, what do you touch or feel? When someone is stuck between 2 realities, this can help bring them fully back to the present. If panic attacks are frequent, possibly keeping a few grounding items with you might help, like a photograph or something soft or an encouraging memento. I feel like I've just scratched the surface today, but hopefully there are a few helpful tidbits. As with most of my podcasts, my website includes a worksheet to help you work through these things into your own life in a deeper way. All scriptures from the New King James Version, unless otherwise stated.
Thank you for listening to Cindy Sherwood's podcast. Visit us on the web at hishealinglight.org to learn more about our ministry. Please consider rating us on iTunes or your other favorite music app. God's best to you today.